you're a guest, I'm Pastor Scott, and I normally look a little bit better than this. Get it out of the way, but some of you have been asking what's been going on. Some of the greater responses are, you know, would you make a comment about Christy's cooking? Was there an elder fight? And, you know, did you fall on your face, trip somehow like that? But I think the only one who hit it, got it correct, was Jeanette. I actually was worked over by my dermatologist this week, had a cyst removed where the Band-Aid is, and just a lot of trauma, and so all the blood came down into my rest of my face. So I look pretty bad this morning, but we're gonna go on anyway. Amen that we're going on, or that I... Okay. A little bit of both. All right. All right, you say something about Andy saying amen and how much you enjoy it one time, and then from then on he just throws it out there at any chance he gets. All right, hey, we're talking about joy this morning. So we continue our season of Advent. We've done the hope, we've done the peace of Christ, and now we're talking about the joy of Christ. And, you know, I don't know about you, but this just when that word joy is thrown out there, I don't know. I have immediate kind of feelings about joy. Not joy the person. We all love joy in here. But just this idea of joy, and as a Christian, you know, this joy. And I think it's because I picture, you know, maybe uncontrollable laughter, maybe fist-pumping excitement, jumping up and down, exuberance. You know, is that your picture of joy? I'm not sure, but If that's what joy is, I feel at a loss because I'm rather laid back. I'm an introvert. I'm an analytic. You know, I'm cool, calm, collected, and level-headed. And if that's joy, you know, if that's what joy is, then there must be something wrong with me, right? Does that mean I don't have joy, or am I just too self-conscious? Or do I have some kind of deficiency in my emotional capacity? So joy is an interesting word for me because, again, if joy is epitomized in Tigger, you guys know Tigger? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm like a cross between an Eeyore or an owl, right? And so, you know, in the kingdom of Winnie the Pooh, you know, you got Piglet also, right, and Rabbit. And so does Tigger just have the sole monopoly on joy? Is that what it is, you know? Or is it something else? I think part of the problem is that we confuse this idea of joy with another idea called happiness. And joy and happiness are actually two different things. David Seaman says, the word happiness has its root in the word happens, or happenings. Happiness depends on happenings. It depends on happenings, on what happens to us, externals that we can't control. Joy is the right word for what we Christians are to expect. For joy is an internal word that has to do with relationships, not circumstances, not happenings. Joy is the inner calm at the eye of the storm. Feelings can be stormy, but there can also be an inner sense of rightness to the will of God. You get that confused sometimes. Maybe you think, you know, joy, and I'm not joyous. You know, but maybe what we term joy is just simply, you know, the stuff that is still able to anchor us in the calm of the storm. You know, everything might be crazy, but we can still have joy. Our lives can be upended and upside down, but we can still have joy. This other stuff, this exuberance might be happiness, but there's something in this idea of joy. And so I want to propose this morning that joy really has its meaning in theological significance. Joy has its greatest meaning, understanding, and ability to understand in our Christian foundation, our Christ foundation. Joy does not come from external events. Joy comes from God. Joy comes from us being anchored in God. Our central truth this morning, to be even more bolder, would be to say only Jesus gives true eternal joy. Whatever joy we experience, whatever joy we can hope to experience, comes directly from Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our, what? Faith. Who for the what? Joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Jesus commit himself? You know, the night of Gethsemane, he's sweating bullets in the garden. You know, if there's any other way, God. And Jesus, in obedience to the Father, continues forward, and he's nailed to the cross, and he's endured all sorts of shame and mockery and derision. Why? Why would he do such a thing? Because of the joy that he would soon inherit upon his resurrection. You know, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of the impending frustration before us, the hurt, the pain, this morning, the truth is that we can have joy, and true, eternal, lasting joy only comes through Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to anchor it this morning. We're anchoring our joy in Jesus Christ. We're anchoring it in the gospel message itself. Our text this morning is really just a mini presentation of the entire gospel. And so this morning, I just want to look at it in that way. We're going from verse 8 to 21, and I just want to unpack the gospel, which gives us joy. So first, there's 5 points. Jesus is our joy. How? What do we have in the gospel message? What do we have in Christ? We have the joy of God's merciful revelation. And I put that word merciful in there for a reason. But we have joy. We can have joy in the midst of all of our problems, in the midst of all of our fatigue. We can find joy in the knowledge that God revealed himself to us in a merciful step. God initiates salvation. You and I didn't do that. God took a step forward into our mess. He initiates salvation. We should be overflowed with joy because of this truth. In verse 8 we read, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Boom. We have regular guys, just regular Joes going about their day or night. Regular guys trudging along through their ordinary jobs with no joy. Have you ever just worked the job and you're just going through the routine? Picture yourself being a shepherd. It's got to be the most boring job out there. No offense, any shepherds, but I mean, what do? You just sit or stand and you watch a bunch of sheep. You know, your eyes go out to the horizon, and you got a job to do, make sure no wolves come. But let's be honest. I mean, it's got to be just boring. And it's nighttime, so you're cold. You know, you're out in the countryside. There's no one there. So, yeah, you can look at the stars and get in touch with nature and all that, but it's just got to be boring, right? These guys are just doing their boring, regular job. And they had no idea, though, that something cosmic was about to happen. See, God just like springs into our world unannounced. Sometimes we don't want him to, but man, aren't we glad later that he chose to? And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great joy. See, we have joy in God's merciful revelation. When God appears, what is the shepherd's reaction? It is a reaction of what? Fear. God's revelation, church, will either elicit fear or joy. This is very important. When God reveals himself, two things will happen. Either there will be a reaction of fear or joy. Fear, because with God's revelation will become an immediate knowledge of condemnation. You see, God is holy. Man is what? Sinful. The first response of beholding God, of Him revealing Himself, of pulling back the curtain, will be that of fear. Because He is holy and we are sinful. Or our reaction to His revelation will be that of joy. Joy that He graced us with a merciful step forward. See, in verse 10, the angel responds to these shepherds and he says, "Fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you," what? Good news. Good news of what? Joy. That this is the Greek word gospel. I evangelize you. I gospel you with joy. Joy that will be for all people, not just you. See, God's revelation will either bring fear or it will bring joy. In this case, it brings great joy. What is the joy? It is the joy of salvation. See, right now, God has revealed Himself. God revealed Himself in Christ 2,000 years ago. God reveals Himself in His Word, and grace is extended. There's joy to be had, but one day, God will reveal Himself to all the nations. He will come back again. This child has grown up, He's died, He's resurrected, He's gone up to heaven, but one day He will come back, and the response of His revelation in the clouds will be that of what? Utter fear for those who have not embraced His grace. So, we have joy because right now God has initiated this salvation. He's revealed Himself to us in mercy. And number two, we also have joy because that is translated into our salvation. God took a step, but He also did more than just revealing Himself. He provided the means by which you and I can have relationship with Him. He didn't just reveal Himself and say, "Hey, check me out. See ya." He said, "No, I am here, and now I have provided a means by which you can come into fellowship with me once again." Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts." That word host means an army. So just one section of God's huge army suddenly shows up in the clouds, and they start praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." We have joy in our salvation. Why? Because Jesus is Savior. His very name, which means Savior, Jesus is Savior. Yahshua saves. He came, but He just didn't hang out with us. He came and He took care of our greatest need, which was sin. He took care of our greatest need, which was this gulf that existed between us and God. Jesus, who came into the world, not just as a sweet little baby, but who grew up into the man who would one day hang on the cross and take upon Himself our sin, take upon Himself that which divides us from God. If it wasn't for His work on the cross and all of man's sin being dumped upon Him, then our only reaction to God's revelation would be that of fear. But Jesus, the Savior, came and He takes away fear. He restores peace with man. But He does more than that. He saves us from the consequence of that sin as well. It says Jesus is also the Christ. The joy of our salvation found in Jesus as Savior, but also as Christ. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you frustrated? Are you stressed? Are you anxious? Remember, we have been saved by the One who was promised from the beginning. God has a plan. God has purposes in the midst of all of our struggles. Jesus is Savior, but He's also the Messiah, representing God's hope for salvation since the very beginning. He's in control. He's the King. In many ways, the Messiah was that Davidic king who would come. Jesus is the sovereign king who rules and reigns. We can trust Him in the storm. We can have joy in the storm because we know He's in control. And third, he is not just Savior and Messiah here, but he is also the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, which means, in Bible talk, Jesus is God. Where's your joy at? Who has robbed you of your joy? What has robbed you of your joy? When we look, Jesus is Savior. We have relationship with God. Jesus is the Messiah. He's in control. And Jesus is the Lord God. Why worry? Why allow the external issues of your life affect your internal joy? We have Jesus. And we have joy. Because he took a merciful step towards us. Because he saved us. And number three, because we get to follow him. We get to have relationship with God. There's a purpose and plan for our life now. Before we were detached from the Creator, now we are firmly rooted in him. We have meaning. We have significance. We have purpose. We have a mission. You just want to spend your whole life sitting in your room doing nothing? You know, watching TV? No, God's given us a mission. He's given a purpose. Verses 12 and onward. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger, which means they found Jesus in a feeding trough. We like that word manger. I don't know, it makes us feel better, but he's in a feeding trough. Okay? So what do we see in this? We see that the Lord revealed himself to these shepherds, and he gave them something to do, right? And in faith, these shepherds leave their flock, by the way, right? And they go running into Bethlehem to see the Savior. In faith, they left their old life. In faith, they moved forward towards Christ, trusting what God had said. And what is one of the joys that you and I have? It's the knowledge that Christ has a purpose and a plan for us. It's the knowledge that God is continually talking to you and I. And he's giving us things to do for his glory. He's not just revealing himself, but he's revealing his glory to be made known among the nations. And he's giving us a picture of how you and I can participate in that entire plan. We have meaning. We have significance. Life is not just to get to retirement, right, and cash out. There's so much more to this life. Life is not just taking care of your children's problems at this moment, checking that box, right? God has given us purpose in this life. We get to do this. We get to follow the Creator of the universe and his master plan. We get to be a part of it. And so have you been following Christ? Maybe your joy is not there because you're just not really doing anything. But there's excitement in seeing God work in you and through you and among you. There's just excitement there. Isn't there joy there? When we get to see God working together with us through this mess called life. Number four, we also have joy. It leads right into number four. We have joy in sharing the gospel with others. There is joy in sharing the good news of Jesus. Verse 17. The shepherds didn't just leave everything and go find this baby. They did more than that. In verse 17, and when they saw it, they saw the child, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. You see, when you're filled with the joy of Christ, you can't help but be joyous in its proclamation. Well, why aren't we sharing the gospel like we should? I think it's because we just don't have the joy of Christ like we should. If we're over, you know, whelmed with the joy of Christ, then that's just going to ooze out of us in every given conversation. So, So where's your joy in evangelism? I think you got to backpedal and go backwards and ask, well, where's the joy that you should have in your salvation, in your faith, in the knowledge of his revelation to you and not some other person? All of this flows out of a heart thankful for all that Christ has done and does. We get to do this. Have you experienced the joy flowing out of your mouth about Christ? There's really nothing more important in this life, right? I mean, if you really just took a moment to take a deep breath and think about it, there's really nothing more important in this life than sharing the gospel with someone who's lost. So can we find the joy in that again? Can we discover it in this new Christmas season? And can we let that swell our hearts for the remaining last 2 weeks? Looking for opportunities to just share this good news of joy. Last one, number 5 this morning, the joy of now worshiping God in spirit and truth. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The angels modeled worship for us in verse 13 and 14. The good news was announced. The angels rejoiced in the clouds. It was modeled. And now we see that the saints now, the shepherds who have received this good news, do the same. It's modeled to us, but then you and I get to experience the joy of worshiping again correctly in spirit and truth. Before, sin had so damaged our spiritual condition that we couldn't worship God in spirit and truth. Instead, we would find ourselves worshiping all sorts of created things instead of Creator. But then Jesus saves us from our sin, but he also restores the broken relationship that exists between us and God. Jesus restores the image of God so that we understand God and we can connect with God. There's like a spiritual, you know, wiring that somehow got disconnected, and God fixes that through Christ. And now we have the joy of being able to worship the one true God in truth and in grace. Here's the problem. Even as Christians, you and I, still, even acknowledging that God chose to reveal himself to me of all people, that God chose to save me of all people, that God, you know, has allowed me to participate in his work, to share the gospel with others. Even now, the fifth thing, you know, being able to worship God, we still get confused, don't we? We still end up worshiping other things, don't we? We still try to find our joy, not in the source of joy, the Creator, but we try to find our joy in created things. Like a great hand-me-down of sorts. And so the question is, have you been worshiping God, the one true God, or have you found your heart gravitating to the worship of things, the pursuit of things? They might be plastic things. They might be shiny gold things. They might be green cash things. But they might be relationships. They might be hopes and dreams that God never meant you to have. Have you been pursuing stuff, trying to find significance and meaning in those things instead of in God himself? Our joy, church, comes from worshiping the Creator in the way that he originally created us to do so. That's where our joy comes. That's why Sunday morning is so important. That's why your individual prayer quiet time is so important. It's in worship that our heart gets realigned. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks this as its first question. What is the chief end of man? Why do we exist? What's the purpose of man? What's the one thing? And the answer that it gives is man's chief end is to glorify God and to do what? Enjoy him forever. Our existence is for God's glory. He did not create us for ourselves. He created mankind for his glory. When you and I get to heaven, guess what we're going to be doing? We're not going to be sitting at a buffet bar all day. You know, if I could just have my version of heaven, it would be to slurp down a Frappuccino all day long. Right? Just kick it and just like a never-ending Frappuccino. But that's not going to be heaven. Heaven is going to be us worshiping God. Because that's what we were originally created to do. Not worshiping things, but worshiping the creator of all those things. And the second part is just as good. It's to enjoy him. You see the word joy there? It's to find our joy in him alone. And to be completely satisfied. Can you imagine that? You know, Christy and I enjoy a wonderful, she did not do this, okay? We enjoy a wonderful marriage. I didn't make a comment about her cooking and she clocked me. We enjoy a wonderful marriage. But I will never find all of my significant, never-ending, eternal joy in Christy. And she's the closest person to me. But we're constantly chasing after things to find joy in. And friends, joy, eternal joy, can only be found in Christ. That's it. And it's what we will experience throughout all eternity. And the question that I believe God is asking us then this morning is, why not start now? Why not trust me? Trust me as the source of unending joy. Because everything else does not satisfy. Everything else does not deliver. The presents that our kids get in 2 weeks' time will be sitting under their bed or in the garbage can within a month. Right? Whatever your spouse or significant other or your child gives you, it's going to put a smile on your face, but that smile's not even going to be there an hour later when you're trying to get the food out of the oven, right? Only Jesus gives true eternal joy. Amen? Do you believe that? This morning, I just want to draw your attention to the blue card. I don't always do this, but I listed like five different things there. This morning, and if there's something else, whatever God is saying, make a decision before you walk out of this room. But have you been trusting in false saviors to bring you joy? Are you upset right now? Are you frustrated with life? Are you just, you know, a downer Debbie, critical of everything? Why? Why are you so frustrated right now? I guarantee it's because you've been putting your faith in something else besides Christ. And that something else has not delivered. And you're taking it out on everybody. What have you been trusting in? Who have you been trusting in besides Christ? Will you repent from that today? That simply means, will you stop trusting in that and will you turn your neck back to Jesus today? And step out in faith and trust him to take care of the deeper, deepest longings within your heart. Number two, trust Jesus is the true source of all joy. Maybe I already said that. Maybe you just need to check that box. Celebrate Advent. We've been celebrating Advent, not just as, you know, December 25th, boom, there it is, presents, Jesus, yay. We've been celebrating a season of longing for the coming Messiah. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Isn't it a joy to think about he's coming back? And so maybe we just need to realign our hearts and our thoughts. We still have a week and a half or 2 weeks or whatever it is. Maybe we just need to realign our hearts and think about Christ who's coming back as well, and the joy that that will bring. Number four, celebrate Emmanuel. Who is Emmanuel, guys? Jesus, but what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. pursue a deeper awareness of Christ's presence this week. You know, not just read your Bible, but really see that God is with us. He's always with us, amen? The problem is we're just not aware of it. We're so busy, so distracted. Maybe this morning you just need to commit this next week to a deeper awareness somehow. When you're driving to work, when you're arguing with a friend at work, of being aware that God is with you. And then the last one, to share the gospel with someone this season. We've got 2 weeks left until Christmas, right? And then everyone stops thinking, all right, we got 2 weeks left. And after 2 weeks, it's culturally inappropriate to talk about Jesus outside of church again. But for 2 weeks, we have an opportunity to talk about Jesus and no one's going to get offended. I mean, someone might, right? So take advantage of the next 2 weeks. Will you try? Will you pray for God to give you opportunity to share the gospel with someone this week? If it means, you know, taking an ornament or cookies over to a neighbor or something like that. I got to share about Jesus and my faith this week. And it was because of Christmas. This guy doesn't even know I'm a pastor. Thank goodness. Once he finds out, all conversation will stop. Okay, but I have Jonathan's basketball games Thursday night. I mean, practice, and I'm investing in this guy, Steve. He has no idea I'm a pastor. But I got to share about Christ. This week, 2 weeks left. Maybe you just need to experience the joy of sharing the good news with someone else. Will you make a decision before we leave this morning? Let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your incredible love for us. We thank you for choosing to reveal yourself to us. You didn't have to. And you certainly didn't have to reveal yourself to us specifically, individually. Lord, I thank you that you are God who cares and reveals. And so, Lord, let us experience the joy of this season and all that it means. Lord, that you came, but that you came into our lives. You came into our life to buy us back from sin, to have fellowship with you, to recruit us, enlist us, and trust us with your mission, and to be the bearer of that same good news to the world. Give us joy this morning in you, that all of that other stuff will just flow out of our one true worship of Christ as King. Lord, peel back our eyes once again this morning. Help us to see you. Help us to see your glory. And Lord, as we continue to worship you, just let everything else flow out of that love for you, for your name's sake, we pray.